the real importance of investing in strong recruitment partnerships for clients. It's easy to treat it as transactional, but actually, when you look at the very few levers you have available to getting the skills and the people that you need into your business, and that's one of the things that all businesses are still saying consistently, is that access to people with the right skills is what will drive their growth. A strong relationship with recruitment services is one lever to that, and a really important lever.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to another edition of Talking Recruitment, the REC podcast. My name is Neil Carberry, the REC Chief Executive. It's a pleasure to have you here joining us for a chat about all things recruitment. It's been a busy old month, March, in lots of ways. Still market not quite bouncing in the way we'd like. The report on jobs was out earlier in the month, as was our labour market tracker. Both of them suggest that while the story is pretty resilient, given that we've been in a recession, the market has been softening. Having said that, a real dichotomy in what the surveys are telling us, because all of the stuff about now and looking backwards is quite weak. Actually, all the business surveys, including our own jobs outlook, looking forward, are a lot more positive. So still thinking that as inflation comes down during the spring, and we're expecting it to get down close to 2% in reasonably short order, that will lead the bank to be thinking about cutting interest rates. We know how valuable that is, particularly for temporary recruitment businesses, those big short-term cash flows, that there'll be some green shoots. We still expect there to be a bit of a bounce in the summer in both the economy and the labour market. Bringing it closer to home to REC Towers, it's been a super busy time with the recent budget. Not a lot for business in the March budget this year. Maybe you don't expect that in a year with a general election. The Chancellor very much thinking about individual electors, and that NI cut is part of that. But there were some interesting bits for the industry. There was an AI fund for skills investment by professional services firms, which recruitment firms will have access to. That's quite an interesting way of boosting your capacity to invest in AI and automation. And we'll be communicating more about that to members. Fascinating comments on productivity in the health service, and notably a more detailed commentary on off-framework and on-framework agency spend in the health service, where thankfully at last they appear to be looking in greater detail and with greater granularity at on-framework spend and why it's not working. Of course, we all know the answer to that is to upgrade the framework rates for the first time in several years to meet the expectations of clinical staff. So lots of work going on in response to the budget, but really we're in a holding pattern waiting for the general election, as you might expect. As well as working with the current government, we're working very hard with the Labour front bench. Just in the last couple of weeks, we've had time with the Shadow Secretary of State for Business, Johnny Reynolds, and we've had one-to-one time with Labour Deputy Leader Angela Rayner, who's in charge of their New Deal for Workers agenda. I think what's interesting, some of you may have seen the coverage in the Financial Times about a week ago, looking at Labour revising their plans to focus on practicality. Is definitely there is a willingness to discuss with businesses, including the REC and REC members, how to take their plans forward. So we're marginally more optimistic than we were maybe at the beginning of the year about some of those Labour plans being workable for you when and if they get into government. Lots to do there. Of course, the Prime Minister has ruled out an election on May the 2nd, but specifically that was the only date he ruled out. So we don't know whether it could be any time from May the 9th until January next year, but we know that we're in the long election campaign now, and getting things done with government at the political level is proving slower and slower. We are having, though, good access with permanent secretaries and senior civil servants, from the Employment Agency Standards Inspectorate through to Department for Business, the Home Office and elsewhere, where we're able to have some discussions that are relevant to this government and to the next. So still lots going on there. Lots going on talking to clients as well, which is the theme of this podcast, but we'll come to that in just a second or two. If you'd like to come and get involved in what the REC is doing, get an update, get in touch with us. Lots going on in terms of events. Our Southwest Regional event, I'm looking forward to being down in Bristol on the 16th of April. Our Northwest Regional event is on the 18th of April. We've got our Standards Conference on the 25th of April. Our Health and Social Care Group, really important to dealing with those challenges to agency work in the NHS that were raised by the budget, is the 28th of March. And of course, the big date for your diary, the 25th of June, for the REC's annual conference. Bookings are open for that now. Please do come. We've got a fantastic day lined up of insight from clients, of thinking about AI and automation in our sector, and of real provocation about the future of our businesses and what we are going to be delivering. Linked to that, though, there's a big question about what do our clients want us to deliver. And one of the things that we've found increasingly is a demand from members to talk directly to clients about how to get value from their recruitment processes, how to make decisions that are valuable in the long term. And that's the subject of today's podcast. So I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast the REC's Chief Membership and Innovation Officer, Maxine Bligh. Good afternoon, Maxine.
Hi, Neil. Glad to be here.
And we're going to talk a little bit about a programme of work that the REC's just set off on called Aim Higher, spelt H-I-R-E, but one might assume also spelt H-I-G-H-E-R. Max, where's the genesis with members coming from for work like this Aim Higher guide?
Sure. Thanks, Neil. I think there are two drivers behind it. I think the first is a trend that we've been picking up from members around access to clients. So they're actually struggling at the moment to get through the door, get them on the phone. I think a couple of reasons for that. One, actually, you know, we know the way businesses are working are different at the moment. So more hybrid working, people not necessarily in the office as much or maybe on the phone, but they're not quite as available as they were kind of during the pandemic and just afterwards through Teams or online channels. And then secondly, I think for a lot of firms, you know, recruitment is not top of mind at the moment. They are kind of a little bit cautious about the market and delaying on some of those decisions and not yet in the frame of mind to think about when the market picks up. Would you say that's the same as the feedback that you're getting as well?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Matt. So I've been out and about around the country quite a bit in the last few weeks. And I'd say the most common thing that members want to talk to each other and to the REC about is client behaviour. And it's not just access, although access is clearly an important part of this. It's also about how clients are conceptualising their recruitment relationships. From at the one end, client members who are struggling with clients not really understanding that even though we're in a recession, the labour market is still quite tight. So they're looking for things which are unrealistic and not quite taking the professional advice of their recruiters in the way they should. To at the other end, behaviour in MSPs and by clients around payment terms that are fundamentally unsustainable for the recruitment businesses involved, whether that's kind of very long payment terms or it is squeezing the margin to a point where actually writing the business for the recruitment agency will improve the top line, but very little to less than none of it will drop to the bottom line. We're seeing more of a trend of some members walking away from business. And if you think about that as a picture, certainly an example from when we were in Scotland recently where members were saying, look, if an MSP bids into a contract and then gets kicked out because the quality is low, the client tends to come back looking for higher quality, but the price point is locked in. And all of this to me speaks to an approach where clients are seeing recruitment as transactional. They're seeing recruitment as something where supply is unconstrained, when we know, don't we, Max, that supply is deeply constrained and that actually there's a professional service element to putting the right quality of candidate in front of your client.
Yeah, absolutely. The reality is that the labour market is still very tight, given the stage of the economic cycle that we're at. And it's only going to get tighter as things pick up. When you think about the number of people that we've lost from the labour market over the last few years at both the the junior end and the more senior end, with people kind of making earlier decisions on retirement or not returning to work after the pandemic. So, you know, the shortages and that tight environment will is there and will be back soon. And I think it's those two, it's a combination of those two reasons. So the access to clients and client behaviour that has led us to aim higher and for us to draft the guide, because what we want to be able to do as the REC is provide you, our members, with support where we can to get those messages across about the real importance of investing in strong recruitment partnerships for clients. It's easy to treat it as transactional, but actually, when you look at the very few levers you have available to getting the skills and the people that you need into your business, and that's one of the things that all businesses are still saying consistently, is that access to people with the right skills is what will drive their growth. A strong relationship with recruitment services is one lever to that, and a really important lever. So I think what we wanted to do is set out a guide for clients that helps them understand that. So sets into context the labour market that we're in, how they can have a really strong relationship with recruiters, and goes through a very practical approach to that.
Well, and I think importantly, it starts from the point of view that in engaging a recruitment firm, you're engaging a professional services firm. That piece around, colleagues who listened to the REC webinar recently will have heard this from me before, but you don't go out and pick your lawyer as a corporate on lowest price, or your auditor. You pick the one that you're confident in the service of. And of course, price is a factor, but it's only one of the factors. I think for us, and you see this in pushback on salaries as well, on candidates, for us, there's a real need to push clients to understand to understand what they don't know and need to learn about the where the labour market is from the people who work it every day, and to value people resourcing in all its forms: temporary staffing, permanent recruitment, talent services, because increasingly as an industry we're doing a lot more than pure recruitment. To understand that stuff is a specialist skill, and that therefore the relationships you need are not the one-off sales relationships, but the ones that are deeper and more partnership-based. And I think changing that requires three things for me. One, it requires a narrative in the public domain, which we try very hard to deliver at the REC, about the value of the sector. But it also requires us in the sector to have our shoulders back and our head up, to have some pride in what we do and be willing not to write bad business. And it requires clients to move along the path, and then us to show what can be achieved when clients do it the right way.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, it is really important as an industry that we're holding the line on price and really not start creating a race to the bottom, and that we're able to demonstrate the value and the work that goes into providing a compliant high standard service. There's so much behind the tip of the iceberg that clients sometimes see, which is the candidates presented before them, without that real thought of what's gone into getting those candidates there, and what goes into that professionalism, the expertise, the knowledge that sits behind it. So the guide tries to unpack some of that. I think what's really important is for our members is that all their teams feel comfortable with that narrative. So I think it's very easy as the owner or maybe a senior level to hold that narrative and hold that message. It's really important that then goes through your business. So we've come up with some tools to try and help with that. We have a set of slides that members can be using with all their teams that sort of sets that narrative out. But I think it's really important that as recruiters, we all feel comfortable having that conversation and justifying the value.
I think that's right. And, you know, when we talk about holding the line on price, it's just don't write business that you can't sustain, isn't it? It's that thing about, if someone wants to come in and outcompete you and win business at a price point where either they're not making any money or something untoward is being done, then one of those two things are true. That's why we push so hard in our campaigning for proper enforcement. But actually, if we get in front of clients and start having discussions that are values-based, the more senior you go in a client business, the more they understand this. That's why I think the REC's media work is so strongly linked to AIM Hire as well, because we're talking about a different way of doing business to C-suites who I think are beginning to wake up to the nature of the labour market of the 2020s and 2030s in Britain, which is tight and skill constrained and in need of longer term thinking. Those are things which should play to a world of deeper partnerships between recruitment businesses and their clients. But it requires a bit of belief on both sides and a willingness to push. And what's interesting, talking to members around the country, I'm getting increasing stories of people who are willing to say to clients, this is my price, and if you want to go somewhere else to get it, feel free, but you won't get a better service. And typically what happens in those situations is actually that the client ends up coming back even if they walk away.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the ones that have been burnt by bad hires and the cost of a bad hire and what that amounts to do really understand that. I think the other interesting factor starting to play into this is use of technology and how that is changing some of the tasks within recruitment at both the client end and within our industry. And increasingly, that leads back to your point about demonstrating that recruitment is a professional and a human service. And that actually where our members can show how they're helping their clients with their blockers and their pain points, you know, whether that's on ED&I, whether it's on retention strategies, value propositions, whether it's just demonstrating and passing on the insight that they have on the market or what they're seeing in terms of trends from candidates coming through, working requests, etc. There's so much knowledge there that actually a computer is not going to be able to give you in the same way, that, you know, a good recruiter will talk the right candidate into a job. A computer can't do that either. So I think it's really being able to demonstrate that human value that shows the value of the service.
Well, I think I always think of John Healy, who was vice president of the WEC until last year, and a good friend of the REC, who said, you know, there's two things in recruitment, isn't there? There's match and fit. And match is about what's on the CV and the skill suite. And, you know, by all means, you're going to be able to automate a large chunk of that. Fit is about the human being. And it's about the direction of travel of the business and the long-term plan. And that is skill. That is human skill. And I think one of the things that automation will do is radically retool the AI in particular will retool the consultant's job and the stuff that consultants will need to be good at to cut through. We've already seen bits of this in terms of, you said earlier, consultants who maybe came in immediately after the pandemic when there was lots of demand, who were doing lots of fulfillment, now struggling a bit with the BD skills that they need. I think that's an element of, you know, how do you invest in the human skills for consultants so they can have these conversations with clients, whether they're BD conversations or actually, you know, there's lots of sectors where the market's quite weak at the moment, but actually that's a good time to talk to your clients, because I remember Jane Haynes speak of the HRD of Rio Tinto speaking at the REC conference a couple of years back and saying, you know, the time I want to talk to a recruiter is the time they phone me up and say, you know, this thing, I think you might be worried about this thing, and we've been thinking about how you might tackle that. That's a more engaging phone call for a client to take than I've got some candidates. And I think we need to have some confidence in ourselves that we can make those calls.
Yeah, absolutely. To be, you know, demonstrating that you're thinking about the client even when they're not in a hiring phase, and using that insight and expertise that you have. And that's the kind of thing that we're asking clients to look out for and think about within the guide. Mm-hmm. So within the guide, we do talk about what they can do to prioritize their recruitment partnerships when they're not hiring and how that will pay dividends, because clearly then the partner they're working with will understand, you know, their company better, the roles within it, their culture, and they can get that fit that you described.
Just take us through the AIM Hire kit that's on the website, because the main report is on open access, and you'd expect that because we want client businesses to read it and think about it, and we're doing quite a lot of work to sell it into them. But there's also, as you mentioned earlier, there's a slide pack, but there's a series of things that are available to members only to help them use AIM Hire in their own work. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. As you say, the guide is open access because we do want as many businesses as possible to be reading it. It is for clients, and we'll also be doing our own campaigns to try and drive businesses towards it through other trade associations, business groups. We do want to teach in this message. But then for members specifically, that they can access, there is that suite of resources to help their teams use it, and to make it as accessible as they can for their clients. So separating out the top tips, for example, there is almost that script that goes through it. I think where we'd encourage members to think about it is almost on the flip side of the tips that we're offering to clients. So, you know, if we're asking clients to look out for how not to do things, or we're asking them to consider exclusivity, you know, make sure that these are the things that you're asking for that match up with that, you know, make sure that you're demonstrating your logos of quality, for example. Mm. So there's lots that we hope will be useful. We're also very keen to get member feedback on what else would be useful. And we're also thinking about where we take the guide next in terms of potentially tailoring it for different sectors and different parts of the industry.
Conceptually, you know, clients get the conceptual argument of exclusivity versus contingency. You know, if you put a job out to 10 recruiters contingent, there's a 10% chance if you all put the same number of candidates forward and make the same efforts and the candidates the same quality that you get the fee. If you're exclusive, if you do the work well, there's a 100% chance that you get the fee. Increasingly, recruiters will have both types of work on their book. Where do you put forward the perfect candidate? I think we all know which side of the fence gets it, and I think senior people in client businesses get that as well. I think procurement people often don't, because they view it like hiring people like buying paperclips. We've got to keep coming back to the difference good people make in a business and selling it in that way. The AIM Hire toolkit is a super way of doing that, and I think it's a bit of a down payment from us on a whole stream of work that the REC is looking at doing this year in terms of supporting clients, our narrative with clients through our media work, in terms of supporting training and events around business development skills in the industry and what is likely to still be quite a bumpy market through the summer. And of course, thinking about how we continue to offer pieces of business advice that move REC members thinking on. And Max, I know that business advice piece is really important to you as part of what you're trying to drive with our team. Do you just want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, making sure that our members do have access to high quality business advice that's specifically tailored for our industry, but helps them think through some of the bigger challenges, you know, whether that is what's coming down the track on the green agenda, how is AI changing the industry, you know, what next on ED&I, or whether it's back to the fundamentals of approaching new markets or different ways to grow your business in this context. We want to make sure we've got really good and accessible content up there. You know, whether you're at the very kind of front end of that and have kind of case studies that you want to profile back, or you're just taking your first steps on the journey and you want to know where to get started, we want to make sure that we're the place that you come first. So do look out for more from us throughout the year on that.
And of course, you know, as REC members, we're always keen to hear from you about the things that are on your mind. I mentioned at the top of the pod about some of our regional and sector events that are coming up, great spaces to kind of compare with peers, but also feedback to us on what should matter to the REC, because we, and one of the things we do with the feedback from those sessions is bring it back to Max and the team at the REC and talk about, well, what's our forward look on the kinds of advice and support that members are looking for. So the great strength of being a trade association is that our members are our shareholders, and we can react to feedback in pretty much in real time. Max, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks, Neil.
And thank you to all of you for joining us on this episode of Talking Recruitment, the REC podcast. If you've enjoyed this chat about our AIM Hire Guide, do check it out online on the REC website at rec.uk.com. And if you'd like a bit more podcast action, a couple of highlights from this year, episode 26 with Matt Ragg, the Chief Executive of Gattaca, talking about inclusion in the industry, but also about the turnaround of Gattaca that he's been at the hands of. Or maybe try our last episode, episode 29 with Dan Robertson of Fairer Consulting, looking at how we drive equality, diversity and inclusion through our industry and through client industries. Thank you very much for joining us on today's episode of the REC podcast. I'll look forward to talking to you again on another edition of Talking Recruitment. Thank you for listening today. I hope you took away some valuable thoughts from this discussion. If you'd like to hear more, head to rec.uk.com/talking recruitment or follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts and Spotify. Simply search Talking Recruitment to find us.